Here are the directions for part two. In this part, you will hear six passages, A through F. Each passage will be followed by two questions, number 13 through number 24. For each question, you will have 10 seconds to choose the best answer and mark your answer on your answer sheet. The passage and the questions will be given only once. Now, let's begin.
A. The Great Wood of Calatin. Ancient Roman historical records refer to an immense forest known as the Great Wood of Calatin in what is now Scotland. Rome had conquered the rest of Britain, but had failed repeatedly to conquer this region. Many Roman historians claimed the invasions were unsuccessful because of the difficulty of fighting in the dense pine forest that covered the landscape. Indeed, the Romans were long blamed for the destruction of a Scottish pine forest some 2,000 years ago. However, modern research suggests this may not all be true. First, the forest also contained trees other than pine, and the forests do not seem to have been as dark and dense as Roman writings suggested. Furthermore, the forest peaked in size some 6,000 years ago, and had been in decline ever since. It was likely ancient humans, chopping down the forest for hunting and agriculture, that was mainly responsible for reducing its size, rather than the Romans being responsible.
Questions. Number 13. What did many ancient Roman historians say about the Great Wood of Calatin? Number 14. What does modern research suggest about the Great Wood of Calatin?
B. On the front line. In 1936, photographers Gerda Taro and Robert Capa traveled to Spain to cover the Civil War there. Taro became interested in photography after first meeting Capa, who would later become a famous war photographer. While Taro helped promote Capa's photos, Capa helped her learn photography, and she became an officially registered member of the press. While in Spain, the couple photographed not just frontline battles, but also other aspects of war, including the suffering of civilians and refugees. Taro also began to work more independently, and it is said she was determined to experience the reality of war firsthand. Sadly, in one operation in 1937, she was struck by a tank and later died. She is said to be the first female photographer to have been killed reporting on war. Soon after her death, her work was largely forgotten. It was only many decades later that it became more widely appreciated.
Questions. Number 15. What does the speaker say about Gerda Taro and Robert Capa? Number 16. What does the speaker conclude about Taro? C. Spider sounds. Researchers in the United States have discovered that spiders can detect sounds through their webs. They found that the silk used in spider webs could pick up air disturbances created by sound waves up to 3 meters away. The silk is also capable of detecting frequencies outside the range of human hearing. A mechanical engineer in the U.S. believes this knowledge can be used to help make more powerful and more sensitive microphones. Human hearing is controlled by air pressure. Pressure changes cause the eardrum to vibrate at different frequencies, and the brain processes the resulting vibrations as sounds. Currently, microphones are designed based on this principle, but one drawback is that making microphones bigger is the only way to make them more sensitive. However, the U.S. researchers have demonstrated that microphones that respond to airflow in the way that spider silk does can be significantly smaller without losing sensitivity.
Questions. Number 17. What is true according to the speaker? Number 18. What is one thing the speaker says about current microphones? D. Nilometers. Ancient Egypt was heavily dependent on the Nile River. Each year, the river flooded the surrounding plains, leaving fertile soil behind when the water level dropped. This allowed the ancient Egyptians to grow crops, so the size of the flood had a major impact on the annual harvest. If the flood was too small, only a limited area would be covered with the soil, leading to a poor harvest. If the flood was too big, the crops could be destroyed. To predict the size of the annual flood, the ancient Egyptians built large stone structures called nilometers, which measured the river's water level. In fact, historians now believe these structures had an additional purpose. The ancient Egyptian government placed a tax on goods, and the rate of this tax was decided each year. If nilometer measurements suggested there would be a good harvest, the tax was set at a higher rate.
Questions. Number 19. What is one thing the speaker says about the ancient Egyptians? Number 20. What do we learn about nilometers?
E. Climate and the brain. Scientists have long known that climatic conditions affect physical health, but a UK study suggests they also influence the brain. By analyzing past research, the study's authors found that heat waves caused a rise in hospital visits due to brain conditions. According to the study's leader, the brain only functions properly within a certain temperature range, so it usually regulates its own temperature. However, brain conditions can prevent this from happening, making sufferers of such conditions more vulnerable to the effects of high temperatures. In fact, the study showed that healthy people were also affected by climatic conditions. Extreme weather events such as storms disrupt people's lives and create stress, which can have a negative effect on brain function over time. One of the study's authors warned that this meant the number of people suffering from brain conditions would likely increase because global warming is making extreme weather events more common.
Questions. Number 21. What is one thing the UK study showed? Number 22. What does one of the study's authors believe will happen? F. Third places and leadership. In the late 20th century, the sociologist Ray Oldenburg proposed the idea of the third place, a space separate from home and the workplace, such as a park or cafe, where people can relax and socialize. These spaces can help individuals release stress, stimulate creativity, and achieve a healthier work-life balance. While third places can vary widely, Oldenburg noted some essential characteristics. For example, cost should not be a barrier to entering, and people should be free to come and go as they wish. Third places can be especially beneficial for workplace leaders. For such people, balancing life and work can be particularly challenging, especially since remote working has blurred the lines between work and home life. Socializing in third places can help leaders gain new perspectives and bring renewed energy to work. This can enhance leadership effectiveness and also help create a workplace culture that benefits employees' well-being.
Questions. Number 23. What is true about third places? Number 24. According to the speaker, what can happen when leaders visit third places?